Welcome to the Beyond Sunday podcast. I'm your host, Benjamin Chapin. Around here, we believe that faith was never meant to stay inside church walls. Each episode brings honest conversations, biblical wisdom, and practical tools to help you follow Jesus in your everyday life. Let's get started. It's been said that our attention is the currency of our souls. Our culture is full of constant noise and distraction. And Jesus invites you and me, as believers, into a fellowship with Him where there's calmness, there's rest, and there's peace for our souls. But it requires something of us. It requires stillness. And that's today's topic we're going to tackle because it's important. It touches all of us. I cannot tell you the amount of times where I have went into a restaurant, I'm standing in line at the grocery store, wherever it is, even driving down the road, looking over, and like people are so distracted, and every moment of every day is so full of a constant noise, and stillness is not something that's on anyone's radar. And for the believer, for the one who calls upon Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, there's a very specific command to be still and know that He is God. And that's where our focus passage comes from, is in Psalm 46:10. It says exactly those words: be still and know that I am God. And if our soul's currency is our attention, where we are depositing that currency every day is shaping us whether we realize it or not. And, you know, take a mental inventory of your hours and days and time, like over the last 24-hour period, 48-hour period. How often did you pick up your cell phone? How often in a moment of waiting or driving did you distract yourself, not only with the cell phone, but maybe the radio? We live in a crazy time right now where technology is flourishing and there is so much good going on with the technology in our life. And we are reaching people around the world with godly and good content, but we're missing out on something that is so crucial in the Christian life. For many of us, our lives, they're just scheduled events on a calendar, sporting events for kiddos, appointments with doctors, jobs, and even multiple church services a week. And none of these things are bad and in themselves. But when there's so much on our plate, so much on our schedule, where does God fit in? Is He just a quick prayer, a list of, hey, God, I need this today, I need that. Here's a sick person, here's that. All right, I gotta go. Bye. Or are we carving out that intentional time where we sit in stillness before God? And I'm talking to myself as I tell you this stuff, because it's not easy and there's constant reasons to be distracted. I mean, think about the invention of the cell phone even before they got smart. Think about it. Before, you know, you had landlines only. And if someone needed to get a hold of you, they had to try the office, they had to try the home phone. If you were somewhere else or in between, they had no way to reach you. But now, we're all a text message or a phone call away. And we can become so so distracted with constant inputs and constant people pulling at us that we forget what's truly important, like this command in Psalm 46:10. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And if silence feels extinct in your life, this episode is for you. So the first thing I want to talk about is the trap of busyness. Our lives are chaotically busy. We won't keep hammering that point. But I need to clue you in on something. I'm not sure if you've thought about it or not, but busyness is not only a trap, it's a tactic the enemy loves to use against people who call upon the Lord. Because if he can keep you busy, he can keep you away from intimate time with Jesus Christ. And the less intimate time you have with God through prayer and Bible study, the less of a relationship you're going to have with God. So what I want to do is go to the scripture and take a look at a passage where we see this reality of busyness getting in the way of what's truly important. And this passage is in Luke chapter 10, verses 48 through 42. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. You see what Mary's doing there? You can see it right there. She's at the Lord's feet. She's sitting down. Okay. You already know where this is going. You probably know the story. If not, it don't matter. Just listen. Okay. Verse 40. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Let's pause right there. Martha was distracted with much serving. You see that? Distractions are not always bad. It's not always doom scrolling. It's not always something bad. A lot of times, the biggest distractions we have are quote unquote good things. Let's keep reading. And she went up to him, talking about Jesus, and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. Okay, so Martha is trying to do good things, trying to serve, and she's upset because her sister is not helping. And this totally looks like it would make sense because it's like, hey, why is everything falling on me? But check this out. This is what Jesus says. Verse 41, but the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. He calls her out exactly on what the issue is. She's too wrapped up and troubled about many things. She's got way too much going on with her mind. She's distracted. Verse 42, he says this, listen to this right here. But one thing is necessary. One. Okay? Jesus says there's one thing that's necessary here. You got a lot on your mind, but there's only one thing that matters here, Martha. And he says, Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Wow. Think about that. What Martha's saying here makes sense when we come at it with fresh eyes. Everything shouldn't just fall on one person. But the Lord flips the narrative on the head and he's like, hey, you're concerned and you're busy and you're doing all this, but there's only one thing in this situation that matters. You see, the reality is, if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. And again, how does this show up in our lives? Cell phones, TikToks, YouTube shorts, endless videos, radio, podcasts. The list goes on and on. Think about those gaps of time where maybe you're sitting in a waiting room with your kids at their doctor's appointment, even though it's an appointment and you have agreed upon time scheduled with the doctor. The doctor somehow doesn't have to show up on time, but you do. But anyways, you're sitting there waiting. Are you pulling out your cell phone? I know I am. Honestly, it's so easy to just pull that cell phone out, check Facebook, check messages, check email, do this, do that. Instead, just taking that as an opportunity to connect with God. Or the kid sitting next to you in the waiting room, right? The news cycles. Oh my goodness. How often are we reading a headline or seeing a headline on the news and we're like, oh man, I gotta find out what's going on. I have to. And then we're tuning in all throughout the day. We're checking for updates. We need to see what's going on. We need. We have the good news, guys and gals. We do. It's the gospel. It's the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. God in human flesh came down, lived a sinless life, and died for you and me. We got the best news ever. So why on earth are we drawn to tune into the news to find out about the latest terrible thing that happened? Why do we gravitate towards that? You ever stop and ponder that reality? Check this out. Think about this. So God's omnipresent. He's everywhere at all times, knows everything. Okay? He knows everything. The devil? No. He don't. He can't be everywhere at all times. He can't know everything. So think about this theory I heard one time, that the news and all these avenues of outlet is a fake version of God, an imitation of God put on by the devil. Think about that. Think about FaceTime, when you can grab your phone and talk to someone in China. It mimics God's omnipresence. And we know that the devil tried to be God, his original sin in heaven was trying to hijack the throne of God. And now through the world and through the world systems and through technology and all these different things, the devil is trying to imitate God. And we're drawn to it because we want to know everything. That's the reality. We feel like if we are not informed, we are lacking something. Psalm 23 tells us, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Another version says, "I lack nothing." you have to ask yourself, are you lacking something? If you're a born-again, Bible-believing Christian, you know you lack nothing. So what's the draw? Distraction keeps us away from God. And there are certain parts of us at certain times in our life that maybe we don't want closeness with God. And that's a part of you that you have to come face to face with. And when you get still, when you get quiet, that's where things get uncomfortable. When you don't have a distraction, when you don't have something taking your attention. But those are the moments. Those are the moments where you can encounter God. In the original Hebrew text of Psalm 46:10, where it says, "Be still," the Hebrew word is rapha, probably saying it wrong, but it carries a sense of letting go, relaxing, releasing your grip. You see, the world wants to hold your attention, to keep you distracted. God invites you to let go, to release, to relax. In a way, he's like a loving father whispering in that still, quiet voice, "Release your grip, my child." You see, that verse goes on to say, "And know that I am God." That "know" is referring to a relational knowing. He wants to get close to you. You have to get through that uncomfortable part to let him in to the parts of your life that maybe you've been blocking. Maybe you've been putting up walls. You can have Sunday morning God, and you can have this, but this over here, you're guarding it. And when things get quiet, you're reminded about it. He wants that part too. As you get quiet with God, get through the uncomfortableness, peace comes. And it brings your soul into alignment with God and with His will for your life. It is important to have time with God, not only in Bible study and prayer, but in quiet and in stillness. And I love the passage here in Mark 1:35. It says, "And rising very early in the morning," I'm a morning guy, so I'm vibing with this Jesus, "while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place. And there he prayed." Desolate place. Think about that. Empty is the word I think of. Desolate. Nobody around. A lot of people struggle with being alone. They feel like they need somebody around. There's a lot of different reasons why that can happen. And why a person might carry that. But the reality is they need God regardless, and they need the stillness in their life. And if we see Jesus throughout Scripture retreating to these times where he's alone and he's with God, how much more do you and I need that? Intentional time spent before God seeking his presence. You know what this is going to do for you? As you build this habit and this routine and rhythm into your life, it's going to give you rest. It's going to give you peace. The type of peace like spoken about in Philippians chapter 4. A peace that surpasses all understanding. How's that sound to you? What is peace that surpasses all understanding? It's the kind of peace where you're going through a situation. Maybe you got a diagnosis. Maybe someone just passed away. But you have peace. It's a peace that it's like you shouldn't be so calm right now, but you are. It's that kind of peace. It surpasses logic. It surpasses understanding. God's command here in Psalm 46:10 is similar to a command we see Jesus lay out to the sea and the wind in Mark 4. Check it out. Mark 4, verses 35 through 39. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But he, talking about Jesus, was in the stern asleep on a cushion. And they woke him and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Okay, first off, check this out. He's asleep in the middle of a storm that is so bad that the people that were fishermen in a past life are tripping. They're tripping out. That had to be a pretty intense storm going on. And he's asleep. Where's Jesus? He's sleeping in the stern. When I think about peace, I think about calmness and contentment and all these kind of things and the goals I have for my own life and for the people around me. That's the kind of peace and calmness I want, where a storm of a lifetime could be going on around me and I'm at peace. That's the peace of Jesus. That's the peace of Jesus that we desperately, desperately crave. And that's the kind of peace that comes through a deep, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's pick up the passage. Verse 39. And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. So God's word here is peace, be still, and the wind and the sea, his creation responded by being calm. We are to do the same. We have free will. The wind and the sea does not. Psalm 46:10 is a command. It is God telling us, "Be still and know that I am God." That is a command for us. And we need to obey that command. So, why then is it so hard if we're supposed to do it? I love Jesus. You love Jesus. Why is it so difficult? Why is the world so easily winning this battle in our life every single day? That's the final thing I want to talk about here. The reality is we live in a world that excites and engages our five senses constantly. Smell, taste, touch, hear, see, everything in our life is engaging with our five senses almost every moment of every day. And the stillness that we need to have before God, it doesn't operate on any of these levels. It goes beyond the five senses. It goes beyond just basic living. And that's why it's so hard. We have to go beyond. Romans 12:2 tells us to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. This world, it wants to give you all the distractions. It wants to give you all the things that you can smell, taste, touch, hear, and see. But the reality is that leaves you empty. It leaves you in need. The only thing that can transform you is God. And His Word is the catalyst that can renew our minds. We have to seek Him out in His Word, in prayer, and make this time to be still before God. We renew our minds when we spend time in His Word, and we renew our minds when we obey His Word. So in Psalm 46:10, we need to be still and know that He is God. So as we start to wrap this up, think about resistances you sense in your own life. And when I say resistance, I'm talking about things that are blocking you and stealing time with the Lord. Moments of waiting, moments of idleness, where you reach for your phone if you're honest, or flip on the radio or TV. Or maybe your to-do list is just too jammed to pack. Maybe you gotta wake up early, go to bed a little later. I don't know you. I don't know the situation, but you do. Maybe your phone is constantly ringing and messages are constantly coming through and you just have to shut it off and walk away. I don't know. You do. And if you're not sure, spend some time thinking about it. Write some stuff down and pray. Ask God to help you. And start small. If you're deep into this and you feel like you sense a major phone addiction or something like that, start small. Like, you know, instead of checking your phone while you stand in line later today at the store, leave your phone in the car. And when you reach for it, let that be the reminder to be still with God. Let Him speak into those quiet moments and let the uncomfortable feelings come. Embrace them head on. And as if things pop in your head, pray about it. This is not worldly mindfulness, which is all about emptying. But instead, this is biblical mindfulness, where you focus on God. You focus on the right things. You can do this. Don't run away from the things that are scary, that you know are right. Stay in those moments and let God know about it. Because he's after your heart. He's been after your heart since the beginning. He desires a relationship with you. He desires to connect with you. He desires to reveal to you. 1 Peter 5:7 is one of my go-to verses in life when it comes to thinking and struggling and all these kind of things, because I'm a thinker. I think a lot about a lot of things, and it can be scary at times. And 1 Peter 5:7 addresses it so perfectly. Casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. All your cares, all your concerns, take them to the foot of Jesus. Remember Mary. She was doing the right thing just by being at the feet of Jesus. And why? Because he cares for you. Whether you realize it or not right now, God loves you and he cares for you, and it does not change based on your behavior with your human relationships. Yeah, your behavior can dictate how the relationship's going and how it's going to go. But God, no. He's beyond human relationships. He loves you and he died for your sin, and he cares about you. And he's seeking after you. It's time to seek after him in the stillness and in the quiet. Thank you for listening to Beyond Sunday with Benjamin Chapin. If this has encouraged you, please share it with somebody and be sure to subscribe so you don't miss what's next. If you'd like to invite me to speak at your church or next gathering, or maybe you just want to explore the 60 plus books I've published, be sure to visit BenjaminChapin.net. And remember, faith was never meant to stay inside church walls.